Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. In a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Change that because of COVID. And the courts suggested they could single-handedly rewrite that. So if a ballot was received before November 5th or 6th, and if it was postmarked as of Election Day, then it would be counted. And even if there was no countervailing evidence that it was cast before the deadline, then it would be counted. Right? So those votes are apparently technically being sequestered. It's unclear whether they are being counted or not, and then they'll have to be uncounted and all that. The question really is the margins. If the margins are very large, then this sort of voter fraud is not going to decide the election. With that said, it undermines the integrity of our elections that any of this is an issue in the first place, obviously. Okay, so that is issue number one. Voter fraud, voter irregularity, these are real things. Are they hundreds of thousands of votes? No. Are they tens of thousands of votes? Probably not. Are they thousands of votes? Maybe. Are they hundreds of votes? Probably. Okay, so the margins of victory matter an awful lot here. Okay, so that is just as by way of background. Second, you actually need evidence to prove this sort of stuff. Right, so suspicion that bad stuff is going on is not sufficient to prove that voter fraud or voter irregularity is responsible for the outcome of an election. And just like in everything else here on the show, we demand evidence of allegations that are made. Now, the left is famous for suggesting that evidence is unnecessary where it doesn't support their narrative. And they'll suggest that every white cop shooting a black person is an act of systemic American racism, and then when we go through the actual facts of the case, it turns out that it is not, and the left will simply ignore that. When allegations are made of a particular criminal activity, it seems to me there should be evidence of that criminal activity. So all of the allegations should be investigated. All of it should come out. All of the lawsuits should be filed. And we should all just take a chill pill and wait a little bit. I understand everybody wants to know the outcome of the election. I understand that everybody is impatient. But guess what? If we find out on Monday who won the election, or if we find out 2 weeks from Monday who won the election based on the investigation of all of these allegations, the world will not be materially changed in any way because all the votes have already been cast. Okay, that's the end of the story. And the rush by media outlets who want to announce this thing, the rush by Democrats who want to announce an outcome, the rush that you're getting from various members of the media going to foreign countries and saying, look how humiliated America is. Why in the world would I care what the Germans think of our election? The only reason they can even hold elections is because we gave them elections. If it were not for us, elections would not be a thing in Germany. So I'm really not interested in hearing from the German government exactly what they think of our free and fair elections here in the United States. So everybody needs to take a chill pill and let the process play out, is I guess what I'm saying here. And we should always make sure that serious allegations are supported and that allegations are supportable. Okay, so that's point number one and point number two. Point number three, Democrats are very upset today because President Trump did a presser yesterday in which he declared basically the only way that he can lose is through voter fraud. Now, we'll get to the actual allegations Trump is making there in just 1 second. Suffice it to say that on the Democratic side of the aisle, they have not only no leg to stand on, they do not have stumps of legs to stand on this particular point. Okay, Democrats do not get to claim that they are deeply upset about the undermining of the legitimacy of American elections after spending 4 years claiming that the 2016 election was a giant bamboozle by the Russians. They do not get to claim that they respect the outcome of elections when they still trot out Stacey Abrams as the governor of Georgia after she lost by 50,000 votes in Georgia. And that's not the way this works. You guys don't get to run around claiming that you deeply respect the outcome of every election, you want every vote counted, and then use Al Gore as your baton to say that. Okay, I'm not just making up that Democrats don't respect the outcomes of elections they don't like. They literally do not respect the outcomes of elections they don't like. So I don't like that from any side of the aisle. Okay, once all the votes are in, once all the votes have been counted, once we root out any impropriety, that's the election, and that's the end of it. And that should be a nonpartisan statement. It happens to be a truth that Democrats have not accepted the results of the 2016 election and never did, so it's very difficult to hear from people like Hillary Clinton that now Donald Trump is supposed to preemptively concede the race before all of the legalities are gone through. Right, here is Hillary Clinton just about a week ago suggesting that the election of 2016 was stolen from her, using exactly the kind of language that she now decries Trump using.
There's an air of illegitimacy that surrounds Trump's presidency, and that just infuriates them. It makes them crazy, and that's a big piece of it. So they have to keep striking out at me because...
Why you? Why?
Well, because I was the candidate that they basically stole an election from. I was the candidate who won, you know, nearly 3 million more votes.
They basically stole the election, guys. And she's not even talking about voter fraud or voter irregularity. She's saying the process actually working amounts to stealing. Right? She says that I won more votes than Trump on a roll. It's not a popular vote contest, lady. This was and still is the prevailing notion in the Democratic Party. So hearing about the undermining of American elections from Hillary Clinton today and from her allies today, that's pretty rich stuff. It's also pretty rich to hear from Al Gore. So you'll recall 2000, if you're old enough. I was 16 in 2000, and I remember that's really the first national election that I remember in any detail because it was such a big thing, right? I mean, it got litigated for a month. Al Gore was being trotted out by MSNBC today as a proprietor of election legality. He was trotted out by MSNBC, where he promptly explained that he was a great defender of every vote being counted. Here was Al Gore, the same guy who basically forced us to go through over a month of election confusion before the Supreme Court settled Bush v. Gore in 2000, claiming that he is definitely a person who stands up for election legality.
But the most important principle that I defended 20 years ago, that Joe Biden and many others are defending tonight, is let's count every legally cast vote and obey the will of the American people. You know, I looked at the people standing in line to vote in the middle of a pandemic, some of them waiting in line 10, 11 hours in some cases. And the determination of the American people, in spite of what they were facing, to have the largest turnout in the entire history of our country, they're heroes, and they're redeeming the promise of America.
My favorite thing there is when Al Gore says, and I do love it, when Al Gore says that he defends every vote, right? That was his big thing, right? No, some of us have memories, right? Al Gore saying he defended counting every legally cast ballot, that's pure retconning. It just isn't true. He tried to disenfranchise military ballots. The only reason he didn't get away with it is because Joe Lieberman went on national TV and said they weren't doing that. And people in the Gore campaign apparently were pretty pissed, according to contemporaneous accounts. He also demanded recounts only in the areas where he thought he was going to win. And in those recounts, he wanted people to divine voter intent. That was the Pregnant Chad controversy, if you remember all that. Now, Pregnant Chad connotes the media's view of men getting pregnant. But back then, a Pregnant Chad was just you tried to vote and you may have dinged a Chad, but you didn't actually punch it through on a punch card. And therefore, we tried to divine your intent by looking into our heart. It was a really, really silly time. And Al Gore was the guy standing behind that. He wanted ballots counted that weren't properly cast. He didn't want properly cast ballots counted. And now here he is lecturing us all on election propriety. Like, spare me. Spare me just a little bit. Okay, in just a second, I'm going to get to all of the latest updates from Pennsylvania with regard to some of these voter impropriety allegations and Michigan and Nevada. We'll get to all of that in just one second. First, let's talk about your most valuable asset, your home. Well, nobody can steal your home, right? It actually is cemented to the ground. But there is some way for thieves and hackers to get a hold of the value that is inherent in your home. That is by hacking your home title. I got a crash course into home title theft. You better pray this crime never happens to you. It could ruin you financially. Here's how easy it is. The legal titles to our homes, they're digitized, they're kept on government and business servers and in the cloud where they can be hacked. A cyber thief finds your home's title, forges your signature on a quitclaim deed, stating that you sold your home to him. Done. Then he takes out loans against your home until all your equity is gone and you are in debt. You won't know until the collection calls start pouring in. You're not protected by insurance, your bank, or common identity theft programs. This is why you need Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect tampering, they help shut it down cold. Head on over to HomeTitleLock.com right now. Register your address to see if you're already a victim. Then use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That is code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com. Go check them out right now, HomeTitleLock.com, and use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. The last thing you need is your most valuable asset being put at risk. Go check them out at HomeTitleLock.com. Use code RADIO. Okay, so here is the actual latest when it comes to developments in Pennsylvania. As I say, that race is too close to call. Trump was up a significant number of ballots. Now the thing is basically a dead heat. Same thing is happening down in Georgia, where briefly this morning, Joe Biden leapt into the lead. Military ballots still have to be counted. Presumably, those will split in favor of President Trump, you would think. There's some provisional ballots that still have to be counted. So a lot of these states are still up in the air. There's a lot of controversy over the last 24 hours because the Trump campaign filed a lawsuit. And now the appellate Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania has sided with Team Trump, rejecting a deadline extension for absentee voters to provide missing proof of identification. And so basically, the Democrats wanted people to have like 3 weeks or a month or some extended period of time to show that they were who they said that they were. And that did not materialize. According to the RNC, in a huge victory for election integrity, the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania sided with the RNC and Donald Trump in the challenge to Secretary Buchvar's unlawful deadline extension for absentee voters to provide missing proof of identification. The court has enforced the proper statutory deadline and ordered that those ballots be segregated and not counted. RNC Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel said, the RNC is doing everything in our power to ensure these kinds of issues are resolved and the letter of the law is followed. Right. So, again, all of this is worthwhile. The letter of the law should be followed. Okay, also, a Pennsylvania court did mandate access to poll watchers. Okay, according to DailyWire.com, Tim Pierce reporting, a court in Pennsylvania ruled on Thursday morning GOP observers must be allowed to watch ballot counting across the state. Apparently, they ruled that GOP observers could watch the ballot count from 6 feet away, but they had been pushed out to like 16 or 100 feet away. The court order allows GOP observers to stand closer. Previously, they'd been using binoculars. The Trump campaign, of course, had preemptively declared victory in Pennsylvania yesterday, suggesting that the number of ballots is too big for Biden to overcome. We'll see whether that is, in fact, the case. Okay, now, as to the actual claims of election fraud in Philadelphia that have been made at this point, some are somewhat substantiable, some are really not. They should all be investigated, as I keep saying. So President Trump said last night that partisan Democrats have allowed the ballots to be received 3 days after the election. We think much more than that. Well, election officials will be counting ballots that were received between 8 p.m. on Election Day and 5 p.m. on Friday. And again, that is the big issue, right? Because that preliminary ruling suggested that as long as there was no countervailing evidence to suggest that the ballots were cast before Election Day, they have to be counted. So unpostmarked ballots could be counted. Okay, that's crazy. That's crazy. And that will end up back in the Supreme Court. And presumably there will be a ruling on that. Now, is that tens of thousands of votes? Probably not. Is it hundreds of votes? Could be. Could be. I'm sure that all of them will be for Biden. Coming up, we get into all the accusations of voter irregularity and voter fraud. Bring you the latest on that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, I'm Albert Pujols, first baseman for the Los Angeles Angels.
And I'm Deidre Pujols.
And we made it our mission to strike out slavery.
Did you know that millions of people, many who are in vulnerable populations, are caught in this nightmare of violence, fraud, and coercion? And during a crisis like the pandemic, even more innocent people are at risk of falling victim to human trafficking.
Sometimes we all take true freedom for granted. Freedom to live our life.
The freedom to pursue our dreams.
The freedom to watch and play baseball.
But for far too many, basic freedom has been torn away, often violently and often targeting those most vulnerable among us.
That's why we made it our mission to strike out slavery.
And we're sending out an SOS, because freedom is worth fighting for.
Join us. Join baseball fans. Join the fight against human trafficking. Go to strikeoutslavery.com.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-837-0065. 800-837-0065. That's 800-837-0065.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, a lot of Republican officials raising questions about voter fraud and voter irregularities across the country. Okay, President Trump also suggested that they are counting these votes in Pennsylvania without any ID whatsoever. As the Philadelphia Inquirer says, Pennsylvania requires people voting in person to provide proof of identity if it is their first time voting at that precinct. That's also required from anyone registering for a mail-in ballot. Apparently, the Pennsylvania Secretary of State has advised that ballots should not be counted if a name on a mail-in ballot cannot be verified or if identification was not received. And this is where the Trump campaign came in and they said, okay, you don't get a week or a week and a half to provide ID. Like, you should have done it at the time. It is also true that the Trump campaign was pointing out that Republican election observers were being forbidden from viewing the vote count closely in person. Now, city lawyers for Philadelphia say the GOP representatives observing the counting could see the entire setup of the canvassing room and could watch every detail of the counting process. A lawyer representing the Trump campaign did tell a judge there have been representatives of the campaign observing the counting process. The city solicitor, Marcel Pratt, said in a statement, many representatives of the Trump campaign have been given access to the convention center throughout the entire day, and since Tuesday, just like observers from other campaigns, the board has set up a location from which candidates and party representatives, potentially in large numbers, can easily view the room without impeding the operation. That is according to the city solicitor. But again, why would you be filing a lawsuit if it weren't the case that you were actually being prevented from seeing what in the hell was going on? This led to a bit of a confrontation between Team Trump and Philadelphia officials. Now, it is unclear whether the Philadelphia officials are stonewalling, whether they're violating the law here. So take all of these videos with a grain of salt, because very often these videos are slightly out of context. One of the allegations I saw here is that the court order being shown was in order to remand back to the local court for a final order, and that the election officials here were waiting for the final order. In any case, here's what that sounded like in Philadelphia yesterday.
I can assure you that they're not violating it under any...
The order is currently in effect.
They're not violating
the
order under
had
any
eight
interpretation.
Attorneys, I think it was eight attorneys, enter your appearance on this. I don't understand why eight attorneys needs to evaluate this order. I did it all by myself. Okay. It says... later than 10:30 today, you're to follow the election code, and my clients' representatives are to be within 6 feet of the property.
Okay, so that was Attorney General, former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, who is a lawyer for the campaign. Bondi said, we plan on entering that building right now and legally observing. If there's one illegal vote cast, it takes away from the great men and women of Pennsylvania who came out and issued a legal vote. And then she updated later. She said, this is a joke. They moved the fence up, but moved the ballot machines back. This is offensive. And obviously, we should change that particular standard. So that is where things stand right now. Okay, so obviously, these sorts of controversies are not good for the American public. And we need to know all of the details of them. And they should all be fully investigated. The Pennsylvania Secretary of State, Buchvar, right, who we've mentioned several times here, she is very partisan. She had tweeted a lot about how bad Trump is. She's a Democrat. But she says, listen, I took an oath of office, so I'm not cheating the system. We have the same sort of statements from the Pennsylvania AG. Josh Shapiro says all the votes are going to be counted. And remember that time I tweeted last week about how when all the votes are counted, Biden's going to win? Just ignore that. It turns out that when you have partisan officials in charge of elections, people tend to get pretty suspicious. Here was Buchvar yesterday.
Look, these were 4 years ago, and at the time I was not in the administration. I was not in any public service. I was a private citizen. It was a personal Twitter account. And then when I became Secretary of State, I took an oath, Dennis, and I took an oath to defend and protect the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and the Constitution of the United States. And partisan politics have no place in the Pennsylvania Department of State or any county elections office.
Okay, so, you know, again, is there reason for people to be suspicious? Sure. Is there a reason to declare the entire election illegitimate yet? No. Should we see all the evidence come out? Absolutely. And should everybody just take a chill pill and wait for a second while we do all these investigations and while the legal process moves forward? Yes. Coming up, we'll talk about some of the oddities that Republicans are claiming in places like Nevada. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding roots, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Thanks to the dedication of the people of Shasta County, we are able to move more quickly through Phase 2 of California's COVID-19 reopening plan. As our friends and neighbors reopen their businesses, remember this carefully thought-out plan is necessary to continue to limit the spread of COVID-19, and following the reopening guidance is critical. We still need to do everything we can to protect our vulnerable neighbors. Those aged 65 and older or with underlying medical conditions should stay home as much as possible. Non-essential travel and mass gatherings are still not allowed at this time, and we all need to continue to practice social distancing. Wear masks when out in public, stay home when sick, and practice respiratory hygiene. To see a list of businesses that can reopen with modifications, go to ShastaReady.org and click on Roadmap to Recovery. Our continued dedication to reopening in a safe, controlled manner will help us beat COVID-19 and continue to move forward.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 smart bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our Veterans Day weekend special. Save $1,000 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 Special Edition smart bed, now $1,799, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Wednesday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In November, we're discussing tricks of the trade and how to make your story really sing during this NaNoWriMo month. And in December, we're discussing frequently asked questions by you, our listeners.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Thanks to the dedication of the people of Shasta County, we are able to move more quickly through Phase 2 of California's COVID-19 reopening plan. As our friends and neighbors reopen their businesses, remember this carefully thought-out plan is necessary to continue to limit the spread of COVID-19, and following the reopening guidance is critical. We still need to do everything we can to protect our vulnerable neighbors. Those aged 65 and older or with underlying medical conditions should stay home as much as possible. Non-essential travel and mass gatherings are still not allowed at this time, and we all need to continue to practice social distancing. Wear masks when out in public, stay home when sick, and practice respiratory hygiene. To see a list of businesses that can reopen with modifications, go to ShastaReady.org and click on Roadmap to Recovery. Our continued dedication to reopening in a safe, controlled manner will help us beat COVID-19 and continue to move forward.
Until all the votes have been counted, this holds true for every single side. And I am amused at the Democrats who say that this is only true so long as Donald Trump is declaring victory. But it is not true if Joe Biden or his team are declaring victory. If the Democrats declare victory, we all go home happy. If the Republicans declare victory, they're very immoral and bad. Right? That is the way the logic of the media and the Democrats work. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, has there ever been a time in human history when so many people are using media? And that means that you need a great pair of wireless earbuds. In fact, you know, my parents, they were using wired earbuds, and I would watch my dad every day take these wired earbuds out of his pocket and have to untangle them. It was highly irritating to me. It was highly irritating to him until I got him some Raycons. I recommend wireless earbuds from Raycon for precisely this reason. Raycon's newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, those are the best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design, and noise-isolating fit. Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet, no dangling wires, no stems. Give them a try. Raycon has a 45-day free return policy, so you can make sure they are the pair of wireless earbuds for you. Now for a limited time, get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That is buyraycon.com/Ben for a special 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds. Go check them out right now at buyraycon.com/Ben. That is buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out. These earbuds are fantastic. They're not going to cost you a fortune. They fit your ear perfectly. Buy Raycon.com/Ben for that 15% discount. So over in Nevada, again, the Trump campaign putting a lot of focus on the possibility of voter fraud and voter irregularity. Rick Grenell, who is obviously a member of Team Trump and ambassador to Germany, he says, "We are not being allowed to check the votes.
Ballots are not automatically legal votes until they're checked. We are not being allowed to check. The Harry Reid machine recklessly threw ballots into the mail, and now we cannot check whether or not there are non-residents, which we have evidence, publicly available evidence, that you all in the media should be also looking at."
Alrighty, so there is Rick Grenell saying that the votes have not been checked there. The former AG of Nevada, Adam Schultz, he also said that he thinks that there is lots of mail-in fraud.
"We firmly believe that there are many voters in this group of mail-in people that are not proper voters. In the last many days, we have received reports of many irregularities across the valley. We believe that there are dead voters that have been counted. We are also confident that there are thousands of people whose votes have been counted that have moved out of Clark County during the pandemic."
The Trump campaign also brought forth a woman named Jill Stokey, who claims that somebody took her ballot and voted on her behalf. Here's what she had to say yesterday.
"My name is Jill Stokey. I went to vote and was told I already voted. I pursued the matter, and in years past, I always voted in person. This time, they mailed out the ballot, and somebody took my ballot. They also took the ballot of my roommate. I was told by the interviewer from Channel 8, when I said, 'Did other people do this?' He said, 'Yes.' He said, 'You're the first dummy.'"
Okay. A Clark County registrar then said, "Well, we then talked to her and we checked her signature. It matched, and we offered her the opportunity to re-vote, and she turned it down." So, again, not every allegation of voter fraud or voter irregularity ends up being true. This is why evidence is usually necessary. Here's the Clark County registrar.
"I personally dealt with Ms. Stoke. She brought her claim to me. We reviewed the ballot, and in our opinion, it's her signature. We also gave her an opportunity to provide a statement. If she wanted to object to that and provide a challenge to that, she refused to do so. A member of the Nevada Secretary of State's office investigation team also interviewed her, and they had no issue with the assistance that we tried to give her."
Okay, so, you know, all of this will be litigated. All of this will be litigated. And that's really what it's going to come down to, because as of today, the network started calling the election for Joe Biden. Biden pulled ahead in Pennsylvania. A lot of the mail-in ballots that were still coming in from surrounding counties tend toward the heavily Democratic. Trump is making the claim that voter irregularity is responsible for this. We're going to see it all litigated out. Okay, so that brings us to President Trump's presser last night. So President Trump came out last night, and he said some true things. He said some things that were not so true. It drove people absolutely batty. Here was President Trump yesterday. He emerged to say, you know, there's a lot of talk in the lead up to the election about a big blue wave that just did not materialize. Here was President Trump last night.
"As everybody saw, we won by historic numbers, and the pollsters got it knowingly wrong. They got it knowingly wrong. We had polls that were so ridiculous, and everybody knew it at the time. There was no blue wave that they predicted. They thought there was going to be a big blue wave. That was false. That was done for suppression reasons. But instead, there was a big red wave. And it's been properly acknowledged, actually, by the media."
Okay, he's right about that, obviously. The fact is that Republicans far outperformed what the polls suggested. Republicans are going to end up with maybe 214 seats in the House, which is an unthinkable outcome. Cook Political, which was a nonpartisan outlet, was suggesting Republicans were going to lose anywhere from 5 to 10 seats. Instead, Republicans are going to pick up anywhere from 10 to 15 seats in the House of Representatives. Plus, there's a likelihood that they maintain the Senate. I know there's a lot of heartburn out there about the two Georgia Senate races, which are both likely going to run off at this point. Okay, I'm fairly sanguine about those races. The reason I'm fairly sanguine about those races is because Donald Trump is not going to be on the ballot in Georgia. What we've seen across the country, a lot of Democratic ballots where it's just Joe Biden and nothing underneath, meaning the motivation to get out for a special election in Georgia for Senate just to give control to Chuck Schumer, it's not really there for Democrats in huge numbers. For Republicans to stop Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden from having unified control of government, lots and lots of motivation. Plus, the reality is that one of the races, and David Perdue, in that race, he did beat the Democrat. He just didn't get directly above 50%. He ended up like right at 50%. In the other race, Kelly Loeffler, who's going to be the candidate, she's going to unify Republican support behind her. Doug Collins and Kelly Loeffler split the support in that particular race, but they were outpolling the Democrat in that race anyway. So I think the Republicans end up with both of those GA Senate seats. Okay, so Trump is right. There was, in fact, a big red wave. But he is also right that it was the year of the Republican woman. And because the media hate Republicans, they just decided they're not going to comment on it.
This was also the year of the Republican woman. More Republican women were elected to Congress than ever before. That's a great achievement.
All righty. So he is right about that as well. Then we get to the crux of the matter, right? We get to the heart of the matter that people are upset about. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify. NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today. Receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That is 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is made only by their private placement memorandum. Read it first. See them at NRIA.net. Okay, so then we get to the crux of Trump's press conference. And this is where this is going to launch a thousand think pieces. President Trump suggests that the election has been stolen from him via voter fraud and voter irregularity. He says they are trying to steal the election. Now, is this an overstatement? I think it's an overstatement because I don't know that they're trying to steal an election. I do think that any suspicion of voter fraud and voter irregularity should be pursued. It's very important to the country that transparency be the byword of the day. Right? It depends on who the they is. It depends on what evidence there is, obviously. Here's President Trump saying that they're trying to steal an election.
There's tremendous litigation going on, and this is a case where they're trying to steal an election. They're trying to rig an election, and we can't let that happen. Detroit and Philadelphia, known as two of the most corrupt political places anywhere in our country, easily cannot be responsible for engineering the outcome of a presidential race, a very important presidential race.
Now, the reality is that you want to make sure that everything is not corrupt. So any call by President Trump to make the process less corrupt is a good call. Trump then continues to say they never believed they could win this honestly.
Democrat officials never believed they could win this election honestly. I really believe that. That's why they did the mail-in ballots where there's tremendous corruption and fraud going on. That's why they mailed out tens of millions of unsolicited ballots without any verification measures whatsoever. And I've told everybody that these things would happen because I've seen it happen.
Okay, his complaints about the mail-in balloting process, as I've talked about at length on the program before, I think are not unjustified. I think that the mail-in balloting process can be a problem. Is that evidence that it was a problem here or that it makes up the margin of error in these various states, the margin of differential? No, it doesn't. And this is where Trump goes too far, right? He says, if you count all the votes legally, I'm going to win. If you don't count all the votes legally, if you count a bunch of illegal votes, they're stealing the election. How about this? How about I'm filing all the lawsuits that are necessary in order to ensure that the vote count is fair? I suspect that there are many outstanding ballots that are being unfairly counted. You know, that's perfectly legit. Him suggesting the only way for him to lose is voter fraud or voter illegality is obviously a broad overstatement, but the president traffics in those.
If you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us. If you count the votes that came in late, we're looking at them very strongly. But a lot of votes came in late.
Okay, so you know, him saying that if you count the votes that came in late, well, we don't know the numbers on that. That's obviously something that should be litigated if, in fact, that is the margin of error in Pennsylvania. And finally, Trump concludes, we're going to take all the legal action at our disposal to ensure that only legally cast ballots are counted, which, of course, is legit. I mean, that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine for any candidate, is to file any legal challenge that they feel is appropriate in order to ensure the veracity of the ballot. Here was Trump.
I have been talking about this for many months with all of you, and I've said very strongly that mail-in ballots are going to end up being a disaster. Small elections were a disaster. Small, very easy-to-handle elections were disastrous. Now, this is a large-scale version, and it's getting worse and worse every day. We're hearing stories that are horror stories, absolute horror stories, and we can't let that happen to the United States of America. It's not a question of who wins, Republican, Democrat, Joe, myself. We can't let that happen to our country.
Okay, so the legal process will move forward. A president will be declared. That is the way this is going to work. The media, obviously, jumping the gun because this is what they do, right? They're in the business of projecting states. They currently project that Joe Biden is the president of the United States. Decision Desk HQ called it earlier today. NBC News called it earlier today. They called it earlier today based on Biden taking the lead in Pennsylvania. Again, this has not been litigated yet. This has not gone all the way through the process. Okay, and journalists were fighting mad about Trump saying this stuff. They were fighting mad. Now, as I say, for Trump to suggest that the only way he can lose is if it was voter fraud or voter irregularity is an overstatement. He said it earlier this week, and I said it was wrong for him to say it then, and it's wrong for him to say it now. And he should not be saying.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding roots, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
The need has always been there. The need for food, shelter, compassion. This year, it just happens to be greater. If you need help, please reach out. If you can give help, please reach within. In a year with fewer red kettles, your $25 monthly donation helps rescue Christmas for the most vulnerable. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Can a tree change a life? At Trees for the Future, we believe trees make all the difference in the fight against poverty, hunger, and climate change. Through a proven permaculture method called the Forest Garden Approach, Trees for the Future has positively impacted over 26,000 farmers and their children. Are you ready to leave a lasting impact on the world? Find out how to plant seeds of hope this season at trees.org/radio. That's trees.org/radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So conservatives have one very good reason to be happy. The Democratic Party seems to be falling apart at the seams. So don't let all of the focus on Trump versus Biden fool you. The Democratic Party has deep, deep troubles. They lost a bunch of seats across the country, and they are just, they can't stand it. I mean, they're falling apart. The DCCC chair, a woman named Sherry Bustos, she told House Democrats, for a person on a House Democrat call yesterday, quote, "I'm furious. Something went wrong here across the entire political world. Something went wrong here across the entire political world." Well, first of all, let me just say this. The Democratic Party needs to start using ZipRecruiter ASAP. Like, ASAP. Do you have any idea who's the head of the DCCC, Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee? You know who that was? The head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee is Robbie Mook. You know what Robbie Mook did before he was the head of the DCCC? He was the head of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign in 2016. Okay, that qualifies you for only one job, head coach of the New York Jets. That is the only job that qualifies you for. Seriously, like, that's an amazing record. I love that. Can you imagine how that interview went? He walks into the DCCC, and they're like, "Oh, Robbie, good to see you." And he's like, "Oh, good to see you, too." They're like, "Well, what did you do? What was your last job?" He's like, "Well, I ran the most unsuccessful presidential campaign in American history." And they're like, "You are hired, my friend. It's probably going to go great." And then the DCCC obviously immediately falls apart on the job. So there was a massive internal Democratic meltdown yesterday. There was a Democratic caucus call. And I'm going to read this to you in its entirety because it is so indicative of the fact that the Democratic coalition cannot hold. So Democrats, since 2012, have been attempting to replicate the Obama coalition. Right? The Obama coalition was going to be minorities, gays, some suburban women, some woke white folks, and that was going to overturn the other 47% of the population. It was a new ascendant plurality minority coalition, and it was going to be durable, and it was going to stick together. The intersectional coalition was going to stick together. And it turns out that that fell apart in 2016 when the intersectional coalition didn't show up for Hillary. Well, it turns out the intersectional coalition also did not show up for Democrats in Congress. The intersectional coalition may have shown up because they don't like Donald Trump very much, but they did not show up to get rid of Susan Collins in Maine. They did not show up to get rid of Tom Tillis in North Carolina. They did not show up to get rid of Steve Daines in Montana. They did not show up to get rid of John Cornyn in Texas. In fact, the opposite happened. A bunch of those suburban women turned back into Republicans in 2020. In fact, Donald Trump got an outsized share of Latino and black votes. And so Democrats are looking at each other going, "Wait a second, are you the enemy? Are you the problem here?" Because here is the problem. The Democrats have some fundamentally incompatible demographics in their coalition. I'm not talking about racial demographics. I'm talking about ideological demographics. So you've got the squad who are declaring that socialism is the way forward. And then you've got purple district Democrats who are like, "Hold up just a second. You're going to get me kicked out of Congress." You've got AOC suggesting socialism is the way forward. And then you've got Latino voters down in Florida, Cuban voters and Venezuelan voters going, "Hold up. We just came from a socialist country and you are a crazy person. That is not a thing I want." You got a bunch of woke white people who are saying to black people, "Defund the police." And black people looking at them like, "Are you insane? We need cops in our towns. Are you nuts?" You've got a bunch of people in the Democratic Party who believe that the top issue in America is allowing biological boys into girls' locker rooms. And meanwhile, I got a bunch of working class white people going, "I don't have a job." This coalition cannot hold together. It is fragmenting. And that was perfectly obvious from the tone and tenor from the Democratic Party. They are in a state of sheer panic right now. The only thing masking the panic is the fact that they think Biden won. That's the only thing masking the panic right now. Because when you get behind the scenes, the panic is absolutely obvious. So here's the proof. Democratic caucus call yesterday. So there's a congresswoman named Abigail Spanberger. She's from Virginia. She ran in a very, very tight race. Okay. And she was sounding off. She was sounding off on her election battle. Okay. She won her race by something like 5,000 votes out of 450,000 votes cast over Nick Freitas. Okay, if that ends up being the final margin. She said, quote, "We lost races we shouldn't have lost. Defund police almost cost me my race because of an attack ad. Don't say socialism ever again. Need to get back to basics. Is yelling." Right? This is Erica Werner, Washington Post congressional reporter. Is yelling. I love that. I love that. Okay, if we run this race again, we will get effing torn apart in 2022, Spanberger says. Okay, then Nancy Pelosi, who has run this party directly into the ground. Remember, her great legislative achievement under Donald Trump is a failed impeachment. That's it. You can't name any of the other things because they don't exist. Pelosi came back on and says she disagrees. They won the House and the presidency. You lost seats in a year you were supposed to pick up seats, lady. Okay, you may not have won the presidency. We'll find out. If you did, it was by the narrowest possible margin over a candidate you guys said was so historically unpopular that Joe Biden was going to win 55% of the vote and 400 electoral votes. And then Pelosi says, "We have a mandate. We have a mandate." First of all, I hope that Nancy Pelosi believes that. I hope that the House Democrats decide they're going to push forward with, let's force her kindergarten to learn that Sally has two moms. I seriously, I hope that this is the Democratic Party platform moving forward. Green New Deal, transgender rights, like, do it. Go for it. Go for broke on the cultural issues. Do it. I'm begging you. Do it. Yes. Good. Good. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Joe Biden may look to be on the cusp of winning the presidency as the long, exacting work of counting votes widens his lead over President Trump in critical battleground states like Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Georgia. Just moments ago, and for a very short time, he came in from his place of residence into Wilmington, Delaware, to make a very brief statement.
No victory yet, but the numbers tell us it's clear. Tell us a clear and convincing story. We're going to win this race.
However, Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel says the election cannot be considered over until all alleged irregularities in key states like Georgia are fully investigated.
We've seen some irregularities that are serious enough that we want time to investigate them. We're going to go through the proper procedures. We're going to take them to the attorneys. We're going to vet the claims. We're going to make sure they're valid, and then we will bring them to you. But that is something we need time for, and with Georgia having a recount, we should have that time.
Mr. Trump stayed out of sight at the White House, but made it clear he was not conceding, but counting on his campaign's legal challenges to secure another term. He writes on Twitter that legal proceedings are just now beginning. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says despite the loss of several seats, she believes Biden has a tremendous mandate to push a Democratic agenda.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi says a disappointing cycle for House Democrats should do nothing to hinder the party's ambitious legislative agenda, pointing to voters' historic support for Joe Biden and claiming that Democrats will have greater leverage next year.
Joe Biden has a big mandate, a bigger mandate than John F. Kennedy when I was in school.
No network has projected Biden as the winner, but he has leads in four critical states. If he won them all, he would end up with 306 electoral votes. Republicans have so far gained seats in the House and look likely to keep their majority in the Senate, though that will depend on who wins what are likely to be two runoff elections in Georgia. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
And check out more news. Read the best analysis. You can find them both at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
A different outcome for two Japanese automakers when it came to profits during the third quarter of this year.
Toyota's July to September profit fell 11% from a year earlier as the coronavirus pandemic slammed global demand, but Japan's top automaker appeared to be holding up better than weaker rivals that have sunk into the red. Meanwhile, Honda reports its profit rose 23% in the last quarter, despite the pandemic. Tokyo-based Honda says its July to September profit was $2.3 billion as the auto market recovered in some parts of the world.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. One of the biggest drug decisions in decades is looming as U.S. regulators consider whether to approve the first medicine that's claimed to slow mental decline from Alzheimer's disease, the most common form of dementia. Longtime Minnesota Congressman Jim Ramstad has died at the age of 74. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says he'll donate $500,000 to the president's legal battle against potential voter fraud.
Senator Graham told Fox News the president's allegations of wrongdoing are earth-shattering. Graham, who heads up the powerful Judiciary Committee, called the election process in Philadelphia crooked as a snake. The president claims there is election fraud and that the election is being stolen. His campaign has won one legal fight so far, which allowed its election monitors to stand a little closer to the ballot counting in Philadelphia. The Trump campaign has said it plans to brief lawmakers about the challenges on Saturday. Bob Agnew reporting.
Voting snarls are not just limited to the continental United States. For the first time in decades, voters across Puerto Rico are still waiting for officials to confirm the winners of some of the most high-profile races there, days after the U.S. territory held its general election. Check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
The response of the squad of the Honorable Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. Again, I keep calling her this because she has declared that despite the fact that her Twitter handle is AOC, we can't call her AOC because that's disrespectful to her and to women everywhere or some such nonsense. And having been accused of catcalling her for simply suggesting that we have a debate, now Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez has declared you can't call her AOC. So now I call her the Honorable Representative, the Honorable, Estimable, Brilliant Representative Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez D. Twitch. She tweeted out, "Why do we listen to people who lost elections as if they are expert in winning elections? McCaskill tried her approach. She ran as a caravan hysteria Dem and lost, while grassroots organizers won progressive measures in Missouri. Her language here shows how she took her base for granted." Oh, please listen to the Honorable Estimable Representative Ocasio-Cortez. Please listen to her, Democrats. The wonders and wisdom of this woman, beyond the pale, beyond the pale. I love the fact that Claire McCaskill lost in Missouri to a Republican. And AOC is like, you know what? Sorry, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, Honorable Estimable D. Twitch. She says that McCaskill lost because she didn't campaign as a hard left Democratic socialist in Missouri. Please keep listening to that. Do it. Do it. And Kermit the Frog meme. Do it. Please. I'm begging you, Democrats, listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Continue along these lines. Suggest that Claire McCaskill is wrong. The culture war issues, the socialism, all of this is a good idea. Follow the squad down the rabbit hole. See, here's the problem for the Democrats. This is a real problem for the Democrats. They decided they were going to, they're a dying party in some ways, that they are going to live off the lifeblood of the intersectional coalition. They're like a 70-year-old Hollywood celebrity bringing in a 20-year-old and then having their blood filtered to them. Right? That's what the Democratic Party has become. Almost literally, right? You've got 95-year-old Nancy Pelosi trying to live off the life energy of Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez and posing with her and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. Right? That is the vibe. Okay, well, it turns out, what happens if the 20-year-old whose blood you are living off of, what happens if that 20-year-old has a blood disease? What then? That's the problem, gang. They have decided they're going to live off the energy of the woke socialists, and the woke socialists are not going to be complacent just being part of the coalition. They want to drive the bus. And because you need them, you cannot alienate them. And that's why Nancy Pelosi refuses to acknowledge that the other night was a bad night for Democrats, even though everybody knows it was a bad night for Democrats. If they acknowledge it was a bad night for Democrats, and that campaigning on Black Lives Matter, and the police are racist, and defund the police, and socialism is good, and transgender bathrooms, and everybody who doesn't like me is a racist, that that's a bad campaign strategy, the minute they acknowledge that, they implicitly rebuke the squad. But they need the squad. They can't alienate the squad. See, what's happened here is a process that the author Nicholas Nassim Taleb has called renormalization. So renormalization is the idea that if you have an extremely solid core of a small group of supporters who are intransigent in their beliefs, they can force everybody over to their side. So take, for example, this is the example that Taleb uses. Take, for example, you have a family with one daughter who's a vegetarian. And that daughter who's a vegetarian says to mom, listen, I'm a vegetarian, you can eat what you want, but I'm not eating anything you put on the table that's not vegetarian. So mom now has two choices. She can either cook two meals, one for intransigent vegetarian daughter and one for everybody else, or she can just cook a vegetarian meal for everybody. And then let's say that that family goes to a block party and there are 20 families there. And the family says, listen, our daughter, she's vegetarian. You can just make one meal for her that's vegetarian, but we're all kind of eating vegetarian in solidarity. And so, you know, you can make two meals. Just give us the vegetarian meal and everybody else has the non-vegetarian meal. And so the organizers of the party, they go, you know what? It's not that much of a cost for us just to order one meal, and it's kind of a hassle to have to organize too. So now everybody's eating vegetarian because this one person is intransigent. That's the squad. The squad has said that we are willing to walk. The squad has said we are willing to take down members of our own party. The squad has said we want to rule the roost, and we refuse to take a back seat to anybody, including the so-called moderates that we need. And so we are going to take over the party. And Nancy Pelosi has no ability to defend against this, particularly because they can use their tactics against Nancy Pelosi. They can call Nancy Pelosi an old white racist. They can suggest she's out of touch. They can suggest she's too conservative, even though she's a San Francisco liberal. It's pretty incredible. So the Democrats have a world of hurt coming to them. Connor Lamb is making that clear. There's an article in the Washington Post today. Centrist House Democrats lash out at liberal colleagues, blame far-left views for costing the party seats. An angry dispute erupted among House Democrats on Thursday, with centrist members blasting their liberal colleagues during a private conference call for pushing far-left views that cost the party seats in Tuesday's election that they had worked hard to win 2 years ago. The bitter exchange, which lasted more than 3 hours as members swayed back and forth over tactics and ideology, reflected the extent to which the 2020 campaign exposed simmering tensions in the party, even as its presidential nominee, Joe Biden, stands on the brink of achieving their biggest goal of the year, ousting President Trump. But here's the thing. It was never about ousting Trump. And this is what I said yesterday. For Democrats, I'm old enough to remember because I'm more than 30 seconds old. When Democrats said the only thing that would save our souls is ousting Trump, if Trump remains in office, the world is lost. Now they think that Biden has won the election, and yet they are deeply unhappy. Why? Because it was never about their disdain for Trump's character or the fact that he was violating norms or anything like that. They didn't care about any of that. That was all an excuse to get rid of Trump and hopefully to get rid of Republicans across the country who they were trying to tie to Trump, right? That was their whole campaign. It turns out Americans didn't hate Trump enough for that, and they didn't hate Republicans enough for that, and they really, really hate the wokesters. They really hate the wokesters. That is the message of the election. You know who knows that? Everybody who's in a moderate district. A little more on that in a moment. But first, investors, how about a 10% steady real estate-backed monthly cash flow? Have you thought about the only one true supply-constrained asset, real estate? Intelligent and savvy investors need to check out NRIA. NRIA is one of the nation's top specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted to 21%. With NRIA, you can obtain steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today for 10% monthly payouts and bonuses. Every smart investor should consider this. Call now 800-754-83. That's 800-754-83 or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net. Other centrists like Mark Vesey of Texas made similar points. Liberals, meanwhile, fired back. Representative Pramila Jayapal, Democrat of Washington and co-chairwoman of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, argued that Democrats should not single out people and ideas that energize the party base. Rashida Tlaib accused her colleagues of only being interested in appealing to white people in suburbia. There it is. There it is. All the Democrats on the call are also racists who only care about the white racists in the suburbs, according to Rashida Tlaib. You guys decided to feed the alligator hoping it would eat you last. It ain't. It's eating you first. How's that feel? How's it feel having those alligator teeth wrapped right around your sternum? You enjoying that, are you? Yeah, you had that coming. To be real, it sounds like you are saying stop pushing for what black folks want, said Rashida Tlaib. Throughout the call, Pelosi sought to reassure her members the election wasn't as bad as it seemed. Democrats, she argued, have held on to about 70% of the 30 Trump-carried districts they won in 2018. She says, we held the House. We didn't win every battle. We did win the war. No, you lost seats. You lost seats. Hey, Democrats' messaging is terrible. It doesn't resonate, said Representative Kurt Schrader, a Democrat of Oregon, a member of the Blue Dog Coalition. When voters see the far left that gets all the news media attention, they get scared. They're afraid this will become a super nanny state, and their ability to do things on their own is going to take things away. Several moderate Democrats said in interviews that Pelosi should have made a deal with Trump on a coronavirus relief package. Pelosi said she was holding back for a better deal, but it was a huge mistake. One lawmaker said it made us look like obstructionists instead of those up for the challenge the country needs. It was a huge mistake. Trump was like, I'm ready for a deal, make it bigger, and Pelosi was obstructing. Representative Sherry Bustos, Democrat of Illinois, the chairwoman of the DCCC, who nearly lost her seat, is also facing member wrath. She defended her operation, argued that Republicans were forced to spend tens of millions of dollars playing defense, but that's not true. Republicans won a bunch of seats they weren't supposed to win. Privately, Democrats in interviews, this is according to the Washington Post, okay, not me. Privately, Democrats in interviews over the past 2 days have said the answer is obvious. The party in recent years has moved further left, with some members embracing such liberal ideas as free college, the Green New Deal, eliminating the filibuster, and adding justices to the Supreme Court. Many of the House's rank and file support those policies, though Pelosi and the DCCC have done their utmost to steer the caucus away from those ideas. At the same time, one member noted, 130 House Democrats faced primaries this cycle, with such groups as Justice Democrats defeating establishment Democrats seeking to punish members who aren't liberal enough. One lawmaker said there's no question that was a huge albatross on the necks of so many of our candidates who unfortunately went down. There has to be a reckoning within our ranks about this because a lot of Justice Democrats don't give a damn about the Democratic Party. They're all about purity and orthodoxy, and it is damaging our opportunities. Meanwhile, the executive director of Justice Democrats, Alexandra Rojas, she said they had one job and they blew it. We need a Democratic Party that stands for something more than just being anti-Trump. Connor Lamb, a centrist who barely won his seat on Election Day, said Spanberger was talking about something many of us are feeling today. We pay the price for these unprofessional and unrealistic comments about a number of issues, whether it is about police or shale gas. These issues are too serious for people we represent to tolerate them being talked about so casually. Correct. Correct. But do you think the Democrats can let go of it? You bet your ass they cannot let go of it. They will never be able to let go of it, ever. Because, again, they are too attached to the message that everyone who opposes them only opposes them because they're racist. They can never look at a Trump voter or even a crossover voter who voted for Biden and then Republican down ballot. Or somebody who didn't vote for Trump at the top of the ticket and voted Republican down ballot. They cannot let go of the argument. The only reason to vote against Democrats is because you are a racist. Right? This is why you saw late night hosts lamenting America last night. Here are a bunch of late night hosts lamenting the state of America. And listen, honestly, like when I am looking for moral guidance, the people I look to most are late night comedians. They're the people when I look to the future of America, I think Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert. These are the people I look to as the moral light of our time. The torchbearers for decency. Here are our late night hosts lamenting that America is so terrible, so horrible, so bad, and then they go back to their palatial estates where they don't have to worry about any of these issues protected by private security.
He is a liar and a cheat who wants them to stop counting thousands of legitimate votes, and almost half of us are apparently okay with that.
Be careful, America. If you let Trump do this, then voting could soon become one of those things that people do to feel better, but doesn't actually do anything.
As usual, the state that got us into this mess was Florida. Every 4 years, Democrats hope they'll take it. But once again, last night, Florida was called for Donald Trump. Florida is officially America's cheating boyfriend. Why do we always think we can change him?
Okay, yeah, you guys, this is the way to win. This is the way to win. Call everyone you don't like a dupe or an idiot or a racist. Go for it. Just go for it. Enjoy and see how it goes for you. A little more on that in a moment. But first, let's talk about the fact that there are a lot of people online who will just target you because of your beliefs. We've seen this from social media. We've seen it even from hackers, you know, people who wish to destroy your life. Silicon Valley doesn't like you very much, but they do like your data, and they like to monetize your data by taking it and using it to sell you ads, for example. Well, here's the thing. Why would you give those people your data so they can make money off of you? Instead, check out ExpressVPN. Big tech companies can use your IP address to match your internet activity to your identity or location. When I use ExpressVPN, search engines and media sites can't see my IP address at all. My identity is masked and anonymized. ExpressVPN has the added benefit of encrypting 100% of your data to keep you safe from people you don't want having it. ExpressVPN software takes just a minute to set up on your computer or phone. You tap one button, you're now protected. So, if you're like me and you believe your internet data belongs to you, not to giant tech companies who aren't friendly to conservatives, ExpressVPN is the answer. Protect your online activity today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben to claim an exclusive offer for my fans. That's expressvpn.com/Ben for 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben to get started. That's expressvpn.com/Ben, 3 months free with that one-year package. Coming up, more on the Democratic crack-up and also their pitch, which is, of course, that you're a racist if you don't like them. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Hi, I'm Albert Pujols, first baseman for the Los Angeles Angels.
And I'm Deidre Pujols. We need your help to strike out slavery. Today, millions of people are caught in this nightmare of violence, fraud, and coercion. Human trafficking is happening in our communities and around the world, and we need to act right now.
So we are sending out this SOS, a call for your help in the fight for freedom.
Please join us by visiting strikeoutslavery.com.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Democrats are actually in a state of disarray. I know there's some triumphalism that you're seeing today as the networks start to declare that Joe Biden will be the next president. Again, that is not yet confirmed. There's a legal process that will take place, and it should take place, and we should go all the way to the end of it. I mean, when people feel unsettled about an election, it is worthwhile to get everything hashed out. But Democrats are pretty upset with those election results, regardless of how the presidential race turns out. You know, the pure partisans are going to be happy if Trump is ousted, but they're really not that happy 5 minutes later, because it turns out their Democratic coalition is just unworkable. There are too many Democrats who are fully invested in the idea that Republicans are racist and sexist and bigots. Joy Reid over at MSNBC is pushing this. Okay, this is not a winning message here, guys.
Even though we intellectually understand what America is at its base, right, that there is a great amount of racism, anti-blackness, anti-wokeness, this idea that political correctness is some sort of scheme to destroy white America, right? Like, we know what this country is, but you still, part of you, I think part of your heart says, you know what, maybe the country is going to pay off all of this pain, the children were stolen with a repudiation. And as the night wore on, and I realized, and it sunk in, okay, that's not happening. Mm. We are still who we thought, you know, well, unfortunately.
Okay, so I love that Joy Reid, her strategy after a bad election for Democrats is let's keep calling everybody racist. Yeah, just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Meanwhile, Sunny Hostin doing the same thing over on The View, where she says this pretty much every day. This is why The View has turned into basically just a Twilight Zone nightmare in which the same episode airs every day, but we pretend it's a different episode. Here's Sunny Hostin saying what she always says, which is if you don't like the stuff she likes, you're a racist.
This election showed us what the true character of many Americans is. And again, I'm not saying that if you voted for Trump, that you are a racist, that you are a homophobe, that you are a sexist, that you are against transgender rights. But what I will say is if you voted for Trump, you then did look the other way. If you voted for him, then all of those things are okay with you because of your own personal circumstance.
I'm not saying that you're a racist. I'm not saying you're a sexist or a bigot or a homophobe. All I'm saying is that racism, sexism, bigotry, and homophobia are fine with you, and you kind of like them. Oh. Okay, well, I guess I'll vote for Democrats now. I mean, now that you've alleviated my worries that you're going to call me a racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe by calling me a racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe, I think like Sonny Hostin now. Yeah, this sort of blackmail tactic, it ain't going to work. It's a bad tactic. It ain't going to work. This is the shtick, and it's a catastrophe for the left. It is very, very, they're so invested in it. Eddie Gloud over on MSNBC invested in this, right? Trump, he's a racist and he's greedy and he's selfish, and by extension, so are all his voters. Here's Eddie Gloud.
I think it's very important for us to understand that Trump sits in the sweet spot of three things. He sits in the sweet spot of the intersection of racism or white supremacy, the intersection of greed and selfishness. And it's right there that he thrives. And so part of what we have to do, and I think Brittany is right in terms of understanding the moral dimensions, the ethical dimensions of this, is to understand what selfishness and white supremacy is doing and what greed is doing to the polity.
It's white supremacy and greed, you see. And half of Americans voted for white supremacy and greed, says Eddie Gloud. Good. Keep going with this message. Seriously, keep pushing it. Now, some of the commentators on the left are beginning to realize what a disaster this is. Eric Levitz, who is a columnist for New York Magazine, he says the 2020 election has brought progressives to the brink of catastrophe. He says the 2020 election was likely a nigh-catastrophic setback for progressive politics in the United States. If America were the kind of republic where a party could govern by winning the most votes, Democrats would be in excellent shape. The party has won the popular vote in all but one election since 1992, but we are not that kind of polity. Instead, we operate under an archaic constitutional framework, yada, 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 yada. Due to the abundance of thinly populated, rural, overwhelming white states in the South and West, the Senate currently has a 6-point bias in favor of the Republican Party, which is to say, given the existing major party coalitions, Democrats are unlikely to win the tipping point state in the Senate unless the party is winning nationally by 6% or more. Of course, this is an illustrative abstraction in real life. All 100 Senate seats aren't on the ballot in a single election cycle. Democrats have longtime incumbents like Joe Manchin and John Tester who have managed to hold their own in increasingly Republican states. But urban-rural polarization is steadily intensifying in the United States, while ticket splitting is becoming less common. Taken together, this has made it harder for Democrats to retain seats in Republican territory or to mend new Manchins and Testers. The state of affairs makes it exceedingly difficult for the Democratic Party to win control of the Senate. In the view of Democratic data scientist David Shore, 2020 was the party's last best chance to win a Senate majority for the foreseeable future. Red state incumbents Joe Manchin, John Tester, and Sherrod Brown held on to their seats in 2018, but are unlikely to be so lucky when they are on the ballot again in 2024. Thus, the party's best hope was to grab a couple of seats and then try and leverage in D.C., Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. Democrats missed their shot. The party maintains the possibility of winning a couple seats in Georgia, but that is unlikely. With Biden in the White House, says a columnist for New York Magazine, there's a good chance Republicans will grow their majority in 2022, as the GOP will enjoy the turnout advantage that almost always accrues to the president's opposition in midterms. 2 years later, Democrats are more likely than not to lose their aforementioned red state incumbents. Extrapolate from current demographic trends, Democrats don't take the Senate again until 2028 or later. Not only that, it turns out that the Electoral College is not cutting in Democrats' favor. Not only that, it turns out that the House of Representatives is falling apart. The bad news for Democrats, says this columnist for New York Magazine, extends to the one side of federal power where they had appeared to be building strength, the House of Representatives. As the border of blue America extended farther into the suburbs, it was possible to imagine Republicans would eventually see their base of support become more geographically concentrated in rural areas than the Democratic Party's base was in cities. But Democrats did not fortify and expand their caucus Tuesday night. Rather, they surrendered recently won suburban districts on their way to a significant loss of seats. Also, Democrats failed to flip control of any state legislative chambers ahead of next year's House redistricting. To the contrary, Democrats lost control of the New Hampshire State Senate and Alaska State House. Now, the GOP boasts full control of state government and thus redistricting in 22 states. Democrats control only 9. Finally, some of the most progressive ballot initiatives went down to flaming defeat in California. Voters rolled back the labor rights of rideshare drivers and rejected a proposal for affirmative action. In Illinois, a majority of voters refused to free their state from a constitutional obstacle to raising taxes on those who earn over 250 grand a year in the middle of a fiscal crisis. So, what is to be done? I did not sleep well enough the past two nights to muster well-considered answers to these questions. Okay, well, the answer is you don't have answers to these particular questions. As the New York Magazine writer says, the bittersweetness of Biden's victory consists precisely in the fact that Trump era is dying and a progressive one cannot be born. Uh-huh. So, this is why they're unhappy. The real reason they're unhappy is because they didn't actually gain power. They didn't gain power. And that should be a reason enough for conservative celebration. All righty, coming up, we'll be joined by Andy McCarthy to talk about voter fraud, voter irregularities, the legal implications thereof, and whether this election is still on knife's edge. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. Although Coach Master is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coach Master, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coach Master apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachMasterAutobody.com.
Black Bear Diner is celebrating this fall with the Craze You'll Crave.
A craze I'll crave?
Yes. Cheesecake drizzled with pumpkin spice, praline sauce, and chopped pecans. Sip on a creamy pumpkin pie cold brew or savor pumpkin spice pancakes with maple butter for the perfect fall experience. Now for a limited time only.
I'm craving it already.
Black Bear Diner has carryout, curbside pickup, and delivery options.
Start your order at blackbeardiner.com or visit them on site for an outdoor dining experience.
Black Bear Diner.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
12-9970.
paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help Now today at 800-831-6155. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help now at 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're joined on the line by Andrew McCarthy, senior fellow at National Review Institute, an NR contributing editor and author of Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. Andy, thanks so much for joining the show. Appreciate it.
Ben, it's my pleasure.
So let's talk about the state of the election. Right now, the networks have all basically called the election for Joe Biden. They say that he pulled ahead in Pennsylvania with enough votes that it's not going to matter anywhere else. Georgia continues to be hotly contested, down to just a couple of thousand votes in either direction. Arizona is still hotly contested. Nevada is still hotly contested. But, of course, if Biden won Pennsylvania, the election is over. The Trump campaign is saying this election is not over. They are claiming voter irregularities and voter fraud lie at the heart of the election. President Trump yesterday gave a controversial presser in which he announced that the election was being stolen from him. What do you make of President Trump's contention?
Well, not much until we see hard evidence of it. And, you know, look, I think, Ben, that anybody sensible who understood that we're going to have an unprecedented amount of a massive amount of mail-in balloting with all that portends in potential for fraud and understanding going in that, you know, ever since they invented democratic elections, including, you know, for treasurer of the third grade, there's shenanigans that go on in every election. And it's always a question of whether they reach such a critical mass that it taints the legitimacy of the outcome. I'm sure they'll be able to show that there were instances of fraud and troubling things. It would be the first election in history if that hadn't happened. And I think there's a lot of reasons to be concerned about the mass mailing. But I haven't seen anything that indicates systemic fraud so widespread that it taints the outcome in any state, even Pennsylvania, which I'm curious about, much less across the country.
So with that said, you know, my take on this has been we can all afford to wait a week and watch the legal challenges play out, see what sort of evidence is presented. I'm sort of astonished at the Democrats who are claiming that it is the end of the world if we wait a week or if Trump doesn't immediately concede, considering they still think that Stacey Abrams is governor of Georgia and that Hillary Clinton was already president.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, this is not a crisis situation. We have I assume that Biden is going to be president, and I don't see any problem with starting to get the wheels turning in that direction so that by the time January 20th rolls around, he can hit the ground running, and every president should have that ability. But, you know, it's under the rules and the statutes that apply. The states really have, I mean, it's supposed to be December 8th, but they have till December 14th to finalize their results. And, you know, we'll have a president. We'll know who the president is January 6th, no matter what happens. I think we'll probably know by the end of the day who it is. But legally, we'll know by January 6th because they have to the Congress has to vote on the returns that have been made by the states as of December 14th. So I don't see why this needs to be treated as if it's a crisis. And frankly, Ben, I think it would be better for the country if you could get the Supreme Court to rule on whether the courts of the states have the power under the Constitution to fiddle around with the statutes that have been enacted by the state legislatures. And maybe the court won't be so timid about doing that if they do it under circumstances where it looks like Biden has won and they're not in a position of deciding the election.
So let's talk for a second about the actual outcome of the election, putting aside the voter fraud claims. It's pretty astonishing how well Republicans did. The polls obviously did not foresee not only, you know, Trump's performance, but more generally Republican performance across the ballot. The fact is that Trump actually underperformed most Republicans in the battleground states. Republicans did really well in Georgia in the Senate races. They probably are going to end up taking both those Senate seats after there's the special elections in January. Republicans did well in states that Trump really did poorly in, like Maine and New Hampshire. Republicans picked up anywhere from maybe 10 to 15 House seats in an election where they were expected to lose maybe 10 House seats. Republicans maintained the Senate in a bunch of spaces where they were expected to lose seats, or at least that were supposed to be competitive and ended up being utterly non-competitive. What was your big takeaway from the night?
That the filter that we get to see the country from, unfortunately, is attached to a fringe part of the left. So, you know, I think most of America remains America as we know and love it. And they are very disturbed by the violence that we've had in the streets. They're obviously very concerned about the pandemic and the wages of it. But they don't want radical change in the country. You know, the good news is Americans continue to love America as America is.
Yeah,
and
I think
the unfortunate thing, I was just going to say, the unfortunate thing for us is that the media is part of the fringe that doesn't like America so much, and the picture we get of America is through that filter, which is a bad thing.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think the biggest losers, as I've said, are really threefold. It was the woke, it was the folks who were polling, and it was the media who defended both. The woke really took it on the chin. And this sort of battle that's now breaking out inside the Democratic Party, I will say as a conservative, is a lot of fun to watch. Watching Abigail Spanberger and AOC go at it and watching Abigail Spanberger basically say, you know, you need to stop saying socialist. And AOC is saying, no, I'm going to keep saying socialist. And the only reason you're saying that is because you're white. And Abigail Spanberger's like, we lost the Cubans in Florida and we're losing the Venezuelans in Florida. And AOC's like, it doesn't matter. We're just going to you have to stop. Like, it's kind of fantastic.
It is fantastic, but, you know, there's a lesson in here for us, I think, going forward of a really serious nature, and that is we know that Biden is – who knows how dedicated he was to the woke agenda anyway, because he's like – he's been a weather vane for half a century. But he's not going to be able to get that program through Congress, which means a lot of governance is going to be done by, you know, executive order – and dear colleague letters like it was in the Obama administration. And I hope that this gives both the courts and the GOP some backbone at fighting back on this stuff. We haven't lost the culture, and the culture doesn't want to be lost. You know, people in America still believe in, you know, traditional sex roles, traditional American values, and I don't think that we need to apologize for that. And what I'm concerned about is that, you know, if we get Obama revisited, you know, we get all the governance by pen and phone that we had in the second term of the Obama years, a lot of that stuff was allowed to go on because there wasn't efficient and effective pushback on it. So I hope that the results of this election shows both the courts and the Republicans that there is a base out there and there's a public out there that would like to see a fight for traditional America.
And we're speaking with Andy McCarthy of National Review. So, Andy, moving forward a couple of weeks, you know, President Trump is not famous for conceding anything. You know, there is the possibility that exists out there that all the legal challenges go forward. There's no significant evidence, or at least significant enough evidence of voter fraud that shapes the outcome of the race, and that Trump simply refuses to concede. Is that a serious risk for the Republican Party, or is it basically just things go on? You know, there's an inauguration, Trump doesn't attend, and people move on with their lives.
Yeah, I think it's more the latter. I mean, I hope the president doesn't lash out and do crazy stuff. You know, he's still president until January 20th. He has a lot of power, obviously. But he could do, if he's got any you know, according to what we're hearing from his camp, then there's at least some thought to running in 2024. I'm not ready. I'm too exhausted to wrap my head around that yet. But if he wants to do that, then he ought to use the next 2 months as, you know, a springboard for that rather than, you know, be spiteful. I think it would look, you and I have probably both given that kind of advice to Trump many times over the last 4 years. And, you know, he famously listens only to his own counsel. But I think it would be the best thing that could happen here. And I think most of the rest of the administration, all of the rest of the administration will do this, is lay the groundwork for the next administration in a cooperative way. You could have, you know, decent governance with a Republican-controlled Senate and Biden. You know, I wouldn't expect any great legislation to get through, but that's good, probably. And I think Trump could help himself a lot by, you know, just being a gracious, defeated president for the next couple of months.
So, Andy, I want to talk to you a little bit about the sort of future of the Republican Party. So there are a bunch of bright spots here, as we've been talking about. The fact that this is a redistricting year and that Republicans did not lose power in a redistricting year is absolutely enormous. The fact that Republicans made significant inroads in the Latino community, particularly in border towns in Texas as well as in Florida, that's a very big thing. Trump won an outsized share of the black vote, even though overall the black vote was so much larger that it probably was the margin of defeat in places like Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Detroit. The fact is that winning a larger share of the black vote is cutting into a lot of the demographic assessments that Democrats have been making here. There's a lot of talk about the future of the Republican Party being sort of a multiracial working class party. And I wonder if that's overreading it a little bit, meaning that the reason that Trump is actually popular with most folks is not his policy as much as it is the fact that he is a culture warrior and the fact that Democrats have chosen to launch culture war against everybody in the middle of the country, that most Americans actually don't pay significant attention to tariff policy, but they do pay significant attention to whether they are being castigated as racist, sexist, bigots, and homophobes. And Trump is a middle finger to that, and Republicans ought to continue to use that middle finger.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And the only addendum I'd make to it is I think that Trump was flying the highest with African Americans in particular, but Hispanic groups as well, when the economy was smoking, you know, before the pandemic hit, and it was clear that the lower income people were getting, for a change, more of a benefit of a flying economy than they've gotten in the past. And as a result, I think the message that we ought to be taking away from that is we ought to stop, you know, the culture war issues are one thing, where we're not talking to people as tribes or groups. We're talking about here's American values versus what the woke side wants to do. And I think with respect to the economy, we have to stop pandering to people as groups and deal with them as Americans who want individual prosperity, which Hispanic Americans and Black Americans want just as much as all the rest of us do. And I think part of the charm of Trump in that regard is that's exactly what he did. You know, he dealt with them as, you know, people at the bottom rungs of the economy who, by, you know, releasing or loosening the regulations and by clamping down on illegal immigration, improved their employment prospects and their prosperity prospects. And I think it's better to deal with people as individuals in terms of what their interest in liberty is than deal with them like the Democrats do as members of a tribe.
So, Andy, final question for you. If you've been following some of the lawsuits that have been filed, it's honestly, there have been such a flurry. Do you have any idea what are the outstanding lawsuits filed by the Trump team at this stage?
The most important one, I guess, and the one that that Trump has actually tried to join as a party before the Supreme Court, is the one that challenges the power of the state court to change the voting rules that were put in place by the state legislature of Pennsylvania. That one, I think, then is probably one that's capable of resolution faster than the other ones because it's a straight legal question. It doesn't require, courtroom proof of fraud and the like. Then with respect to, I believe it's Wisconsin, there is a lawsuit in Georgia. There may be one in Michigan as well. They are pursuing what they say are individual instances of fraud. And what I would say about those is that in every single election, there are always instances of fraud. But to get in the door in a serious way in these litigations, I think you really have to be able to show that it could have made a difference. That, in other words, even if we credit everything that you say happened and that it was fraudulent, would it have affected the outcome in a particular state? And I think if they can't meet that threshold, it's not going to go very far.
Yeah, Andy McCarthy, National Review, really appreciate your time. Go pick up his book, Ball of Collusion. Andy, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ben.
All righty, coming up, we're going to get back into the latest from...
Hey, Linda, show's over. Let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-house bakery, everything home-cooked with the freshest ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country Kitchen, locally owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go!
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
When I'm exercising, for example, not so with my Raycons. Check them out at buyraycon.com/Ben for that special 15% discount. Again, that is buyraycon.com/Ben. Already coming up, we'll bring you all the latest as the selection continues to unfold. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-831-6155. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help now at 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The need has always been there. The need for food, shelter, compassion. This year, it just happens to be greater. If you need help, please reach out. If you can give help, please reach within. In a year with fewer red kettles, your $25 monthly donation helps rescue Christmas for the most vulnerable. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we heard for years that the Democrats really hated Trump because he's vulgar. Right? He's vulgar and he's blunt and he says things that are impolitic and all that. Well, now it turns out that, that was a bunch of crap. Here is the campaign spokesperson for the Joe Biden campaign. His name is Andrew Bates. He said in a statement, quote, "As we said on July 19th, the American people will decide this election, and the United States government is perfectly capable of escorting trespassers out of the White House." Super classy move there, dude. We have ongoing legal challenges. The state counts have not been certified yet. And yet Andrew Bates is already predicting that Trump is going to be holed up in the Oval Office like Al Pacino at the end of Scarface. And then the U.S. government can get rid of trespassers. Like, very, very classy stuff. Super duper classy stuff. Meanwhile, Biden supporters are starting to get very weepy today. They're starting to see this from the Pod Save Bros. They're popping the cork. There's only one problem with them, of course, which is that they don't actually have a lot to celebrate, even if Joe Biden wins. The reason being, what exactly is Joe Biden going to do for them with a Republican majority in the Senate? Now, what we're about to see is two runoffs in Georgia. Both runoffs are likely to go Republican. First of all, David Perdue just won in Georgia over Warnock, who is his opponent. He won that race. The only thing is that you have to get over 50% in order to actually win the race. And therefore, we are still going to have a runoff, even though it's pretty obvious who won that race. And so that right there is the reality. So when Donald Trump is not on the ballot, he underperformed David Perdue in Georgia. How do you think that's going to go? I'm looking at the Georgia results right now. So it's actually Warnock is running against Loeffler. But Loeffler had 26% support. Doug Collins had 20% support. Warnock was stuck down at 33% support. Okay, so basically, the Republican goes into that race with 46% support versus almost 33% support from the Democrat. That's not going to go fantastic for the Democrats. Meanwhile, you have that second district race in Georgia with David Perdue. Okay, Perdue is going to finish just slightly above John Ossoff, but short of the 50% they need in order to avoid a runoff. Democrats are going to pour money into John Ossoff again. I'm going to go with Perdue and Loeffler win those races. Republicans end up maintaining the Senate. So let's suggest for a second that the Democrats don't end up with the Senate, which is the most likely possible outcome, even if Joe Biden ends up president. What exactly are they going to have to celebrate just over the next few years? Not many things. It's not going to be a pretty next few years for them. 2022 is set up for the Republicans to take the House. 2024 is set up for Republicans to broaden their lead in the Senate and run somebody who's not a doddering, old, corrupt career politician. First of all, Trump could come back. I mean, that is a real possibility. Hey, Donald Trump is not a person who takes an L lying down if it ends up being an L. And the possibility that Trump forges forth 2 years from now and says, listen, you had a referendum on me. I get it. How are you enjoying this whole Biden thing? Presumably, if Biden is doing poorly, let's say that Biden, does not actually preside over a solid economy. Let's say that the economy starts to stagnate. Let's say that he gets us involved in foreign wars. Let's say he does a bad job, which I think is quite likely. Donald Trump can come back and say, okay, second look at Donald Trump. What do you think? You miss me? Now, that's not unprecedented in American politics. We have had presidents who have served two non-consecutive terms, obviously. Grover Cleveland did it. Right? He actually won the popular vote in his second election, but did not win the Electoral College, and then he came back and he won the next time around. So you could theoretically see that. But even putting Trump aside, there are plenty of Republicans who I think are capable of beating Joe Biden like a rented mule. There are a lot of them. And Nikki Haley, Kristi Noem, Ron DeSantis, Greg Abbott. There are a lot of Republicans out there, right? Ted Cruz. I mean, there are a lot of Republicans out there who I think would shape up pretty well against Joe Biden, who at that time will be 82 years old. Or if he's not President, Kamala Harris, who is one of the least charming politicians in the history of modern American politics. She's just terrible. And Democrats are going to realize what a bad move they made by bringing her onto the ticket if, in fact, they end up with her as president having to run for a national election. So, Democrats have a lot of reasons to be worried coming up. They do. And they may mask that with, you know, the exuberance at Trump being out if, in fact, they're able to kick him out of the White House. But guess what? That joy is likely to be extremely short-lived. Very, very short-lived. And that is good news for conservatives. That is good news for Republicans. Republicans have a durable coalition moving forward. The next few years look good for them. It's a redistricting year. They didn't lose those state legislative seats. A lot to be optimistic about if you're a conservative. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstra. Joe Biden, flanked by his vice presidential running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, Friday night addressed the nation. And while not claiming victory, Biden did say the numbers tell a convincing story.
Record number of Americans of all races, faiths, religions chose change over more of the same. They've given us a mandate for action on COVID, the economy, climate change, systemic racism.
But President Trump isn't budging from his allegations of tampering of votes in the count process in the four crucial states that include Georgia, where Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger tells the Georgia Public Broadcasting he's aware of the high stakes in the counting process.
Interest in our election obviously goes far beyond our borders. The final tally in Georgia at this point has huge implications for the entire country.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says it is important to count every vote from Tuesday's election.
McConnell is calling for, in his words, every legal vote to be counted. Balanced remarks that come short of full support for President Trump's repeated claims of fraud and election stealing by Democrats. The president raising concerns about election officials in Philadelphia accepting mail-in ballots without the proper postmark, even duplicating some ballots. Indicating support for a possible court review of the process, McConnell tweets, "The courts are here to apply the laws and resolve disputes. That's how Americans' votes decide the result." Bob Agnew reporting.
White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has been diagnosed with the coronavirus just days after traveling with the president during his final campaign swing and being in a small group of insiders watching returns Tuesday night. He was also with the president Wednesday when Mr. Trump met with reporters. The news comes as the nation is setting daily records for confirmed cases of COVID-19. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son, founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Meeting new people, going on dates, I was way out of practice. Silver Singles made it easy for me to get back into dating, and it felt just right.
Rediscover the magic of dating with Silver Singles, the exclusive community for singles over 50.
Signing up was easy. I told them a little about me, my interests, and I started getting matches right away.
At Silver Singles, you receive daily matches you won't want to miss. Start your search today at silversingles.com/radio. silversingles.com/radio.
The Australian government has asked for clarification on reports that Chinese customs officials have been instructed to reject certain Australian goods, such as copper.
China is, by a large margin, Australia's biggest foreign market. Before trade was distorted by the pandemic, it accounted for 30% of Australia's exports of goods and services, more than the next four countries combined. There are reports of new restrictions that at least some of these goods will face at Chinese customs. If there were to be sustained barriers to a wide range of Australian goods, it has the potential to do serious commercial damage. China was also the biggest home country for tourism in Australia, both in terms of numbers of visitors and total spending.
That's the BBC's Andrew Walker reporting. Ethiopia's prime minister says airstrikes have been carried out against the forces of the country's well-armed Tigray region, asserting the strikes in multiple locations destroyed rockets and other weapons. More at townhall.com. Twitter removes a fake AP account that called the election for Joe Biden.
Twitter suspended a fake account masquerading as the Associated Press on Friday. The account sent out a tweet announcing Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden as the winner of the 2020 presidential election before it was disbanded. The account, at APMyWrist, garnered hundreds of likes and retweets on the post before the social media giant shut it down. The election has not yet been called for either candidate as more ballots continue to be counted. Amid misinformation that has been circulating during this year's election, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency has sent out several tweets encouraging users to get the facts. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Missouri election judge who came to work despite testing positive for the coronavirus died in her sleep after a 15-hour shift at the polls in the St. Louis suburb of St. Charles. Officials don't know yet if COVID-19 was the cause of the woman's death. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Things that stand right now, Joe Biden has taken a narrow lead in Pennsylvania. Absentee ballots were being tabulated this morning. That lead is likely to expand over the course of the day. President Trump has filed some lawsuits regarding ballots coming in after the election date and whether those ought to be counted or not. It is unclear how many of those ballots there actually are. Meanwhile, in Arizona, Biden's lead has dropped down to 1.6 points, about 50,000 votes, as more late absentee mail ballots are counted. Late mail voting in Arizona has broken pretty heavily for Trump. So Arizona is probably going to continue to tighten. It is unclear whether Trump overtakes Biden in Arizona. Meanwhile, in Georgia, that is edging toward Biden. According to the New York Times, Biden has edged ahead by just over 1,000 votes. There's not much counting left to do. There's a scattering of absentee votes across the state. There will be a recount. There's an automatic recount provision in Georgia law beneath 0.5%. In Nevada, Biden has expanded his lead to about a percentage point or 9,000 votes. His lead is probably going to grow further today because there are 190,000 votes left to be counted. 90% of them are in Clark County, which is a Democratic stronghold. So needless to say, the president is behind the eight ball in terms of the actual vote count. President Trump is protesting that the election has been tampered with, that voter fraud and voter irregularity are the problem. He has launched a series of lawsuits on this basis. In Philadelphia, he launched a lawsuit claiming that the Philadelphia officials were not allowing Republican poll watchers to actually view what was going on. That lawsuit was successful. An injunction was granted nearly immediately. The Trump campaign also put forward a lawsuit to try and bar the counting of ballots that either arrived after Election Day or that were unclearly marked before Election Day. So we'll see how that proceeds. All of this, of course, has led the left to absolutely lose its mind. So the left is preemptively celebrating, of course. The left has decided the election is over. This has led to idiocies like David Corn of The Nation tweeting out, when Trump was elected, I decided I'd only wear black ties. It was a personal and private act of mourning. I didn't say anything about it, and almost no one noticed over these past 4 years. Today. And then he tweeted out a photo of himself wearing a silver tie. Wow. The heroism. Just wow. So impressive. Meanwhile, folks on the left celebrating and enjoying themselves, but not as much as you might think, because as we'll discuss in just a little while, it turns out that the left really doesn't have all that much to celebrate. Even if Joe Biden were to win a narrow victory over Donald Trump in a extraordinarily heavily voted year, they're not going to have any power against the Republican Senate. They're not going to have any power come 2022 when the Republicans take the House. And in 2024, they would have an 82-year-old Joe Biden going up against somebody in the Republican Party who could theoretically be Trump again, right? Or Kamala Harris, who is the least likable candidate to walk the earth since Hillary Clinton. And with all of that said, it is not yet over. The Trump team has put out a statement saying that the preliminary declaration that the election is over is indeed preliminary. They put out a statement suggesting, quote, the election is not over. The false projection of Joe Biden as the winner is based on results in four states that are far from final. Georgia is headed for a recount where we are confident we will find ballots improperly harvested and where President Trump will ultimately prevail. There are many irregularities in Pennsylvania, including having election officials prevent our volunteer legal observers from having meaningful access to vote counting locations. We prevailed in court on our challenge, but were deprived of valuable time and denied the transparency we are entitled to under state law. In Nevada, there appear to be thousands of individuals who improperly cast mail ballots. Finally, the president is on course to win Arizona outright, despite the irresponsible and erroneous calling of the state for Biden by Fox News and the Associated Press. Biden is relying on these states for his phony claim on the White House, but once the election is final, President Trump will be reelected. For what it is worth, the president has also said that obviously he's going to obey the law as they move forward. That doesn't mean that he's going to concede the election under any circumstances. It does mean that he's going to wait for all of this. He's going to wait for all of this to play out. And he's not going to hole up in the White House and do blow and fire machine guns through the door like Al Pacino at the end of Scarface. That's not a thing that's going to happen. But again, this thing is not yet over. And listening to Democrats complain about this not being over, listening to Democrats saying today ought to be our celebration day. Why can't it be a week from now? Why can't it be 2 weeks from now? Why is it? Well, we want to celebrate now. It's our right to party. I'm just going to point out that Democrats have undermined legitimate elections for all of my lifetime. Al Gore was on MSNBC yesterday declaring that he defended the election system. Okay, that is not true. Here is Al Gore, very Al Gore, defending America, our election systems, from global warming. Here's Al Gore.
But the most important principle that I defended 20 years ago, that Joe Biden and many others are defending tonight, is let's count every legally cast vote and obey the will of the American people.
Hey, sorry to break it to Al Gore, but no, he was not a defender of America's voters. Al Gore tried to disenfranchise military ballots. Al Gore attempted to have ballots read by looking to voters' intent, which is insane. That's how you ended up with the pregnant Chad controversy. Not like Chad who works for us being pregnant. Like the pregnant Chad controversy. That's impossible. But like the pregnant Chad controversy where people tried to punch their ballot and it didn't wholly work. And so you'd have someone look into their heart to determine who they voted for. Even so, Gore ended up losing that election. Hillary Clinton just last week suggested that the election was stolen from her. So, you know, amid all the hue and cry about how Trump is so terrible for saying the election is stolen, then I don't like when anybody says the election is stolen when the election, there's not proof yet that the election was stolen, right? I mean, we're still waiting for all the lawsuits to go forward. We're still waiting for all of the information to be tabulated. It's okay to be suspicious. This is why we have a legal process and we should go through the legal process. But Democrats don't have a leg to stand on when they suggest that they stand for election integrity. Here was Hillary Clinton last week suggesting that her election was stolen.
There's an air of illegitimacy that surrounds Trump's presidency, and that just infuriates them. It makes them crazy, and that's a big piece of it. So they have to keep striking out at me because...
Why you? Why?
Well, because I was the candidate that they basically stole an election from. I was the candidate who won, you know, nearly 3 million more votes.
They stole an election, you see. It's okay when Hillary Clinton says it. That's totally fine. And it's okay when we spend 4 years hunting for Russians under our bed, because it was probably their fault that Hillary Clinton lost. But if Donald Trump says, I want to go through the legal process, and I think I won with all the legal votes and the illegal votes that are coming in, those are the ones deciding the election, then we all have to set our hair on fire. Do I like those kind of statements? No. Do I think that that's hair on fire stuff? Not after the Democrats keep claiming that Georgia's Stacey Abrams is actually the governor over there. She lost by 50,000 votes. 50,000. Now, Democrats right now are complaining that Trump is filing lawsuits in Wisconsin. He lost Wisconsin by 20,000. Stacey Abrams lost by 50, like 2.5 times the margin. And yet Stacey Abrams is a hero of the resistance. So spare me the crocodile tears just a little bit. So here was President Trump's statement last night. There was some stuff to like, some stuff to hate, as always with President Trump. Here was President Trump last night correctly saying that the polls totally jacked him, that the polls were maybe designed in order to keep people from giving money to the campaigns, particularly in swing states. He said, you know, you kept predicting this big blue wave. It wasn't. There was a big red wave.
As everybody saw, we won by historic numbers. And the pollsters got it knowingly wrong. They got it knowingly wrong. We had polls that were so ridiculous, and everybody knew it at the time. There was no blue wave that they predicted. They thought there was going to be a big blue wave. That was false. That was done for suppression reasons. But instead, there was a big red wave. And it's been properly acknowledged, actually, by the media.
Okay, and he's right about that. He's also correct that this was a great year for Republican women, 13 of whom were added to Congress. Haven't seen any girl power stories from the media yet because they're so objective, right? And here's President Trump correctly calling out the media.
This was also the year of the Republican woman. More Republican women were elected to Congress than ever before. That's a great achievement.
Okay, that is true. Okay, then we got to the controversial portion. This is where Trump says that they are trying to steal the election. Now, it may very well be that there are people in Philadelphia who have engaged in election fraud. In fact, there was a story back in May of a federal prosecution of a person who was stuffing ballot boxes. That was like 24 ballots here, 40 ballots there, 100 ballots here. Could there be voter fraud in Philadelphia? Sure. Why not? Is it going to amount to tens of thousands of votes? Pretty unlikely. Also, the idea that in every one of these states, including like Georgia, for example, voter fraud is to blame. I mean, the Georgia Secretary of State's a Republican. The governor is a Republican. In Arizona, the governor is a Republican. And by the way, you're not seeing a lot of claims of voter fraud in Arizona from the Trump campaign, presumably because the late mail-ins are coming in on Trump's side. Nonetheless, here's President Trump saying that they are trying to steal the election.
There's tremendous litigation going on, and this is a case where they're trying to steal an election. They're trying to rig an election, and we can't let that happen. Detroit and Philadelphia, known as two of the most corrupt political places anywhere in our country, easily cannot be responsible for engineering the outcome of a presidential race, a very important presidential race.
Okay, so, yeah, are they trying to steal? You'd have to define the they. You'd have to provide the evidence of the stealing. And that's what lawsuits are for. We have a process for this. Everybody, stop panicking over the fact that Trump says stuff. He says stuff. We all know it. Okay, the stuff he says is not always stuff that I like. If this is not baked into the cake by now, I really don't know what it is. Plus, the vote has already taken place, right? Nobody else is voting. It's not like the stuff he says right now is going to shift the vote. It's over. The vote already happened. And President Trump continued along these lines. He said they never believed they could win this honestly.
Democrat officials never believed they could win this election honestly. I really believe that. That's why they did the mail-in ballots, where there's tremendous corruption and fraud going on. That's why they mailed out tens of millions of unsolicited ballots without any verification measures whatsoever. And I've told everybody that these things would happen because I've seen it happen.
Okay, so, again, asking questions about this sort of stuff is not forbidden, and this is why we have a legal process, and we'll have to let that play out. Where Trump, of course, goes too far is he says, if you count all the legal votes I win, if you count the illegal votes, they can steal the election. And that's moving beyond the evidence to conjecture, but that's Trump. And again, for the 1,000th time, there's a process for this. Democrats who've spent the last several years claiming that Russians stole the election, or that Facebook stole the election, or that Hillary Clinton is the actual president, or that Governor Stacey Abrams of Georgia is, in fact, the governor of Georgia. They have no... I don't want to hear from them, honestly. Here's Trump.
If you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us. If you count the votes that came in late, we're looking at them very strongly, but a lot of votes came in late.
All righty, so... President Trump concluded by saying that they would take all legal action, which is, of course, where this is always going to go, right? I mean, it's going to go to court. It'll be adjudicated. They'll have to show evidence of the voter fraud. if there is not enough evidence of voter fraud to overturn the results of the election, then this thing is over. I mean, that's the way that it's going to work. Right? We do have processes in these country, in this country. I'm a fan of evidence, as you know. Just as when Democrats claim that every time a white cop shoots a black person, it is racism, and then I say, let's look at the evidence. If we're going to claim voter fraud and voter irregularity, every one of those cases should be fully investigated to the fullest extent of the law, and then we should determine whether there is, in fact, enough evidence to talk about widespread voter fraud resulting in actual changes to the election outcome. Here's President Trump saying that he's going to take legal action.
We want an honest election. We want an honest count. And we want honest people working back there because it's a very important job. So that's the way this country is going to win. That's the way the United States will win. And we think we will win the election very easily. We think there's going to be a lot of litigation because we have so much evidence, so much proof, and it's going to end up perhaps at the highest court in the land. We'll see. But we think there'll be a lot of litigation because we can't have an election stolen like this.
Okay, there will be litigation, and then we'll have an answer. Meanwhile, our esteemed journalistic community has deemed it completely off limits for Trump to even discuss voter fraud and voter irregularity, even though, again, Al Gore did this in 2000. John Kerry did some of this in 2004, right? The Diebold machines were going to oust John Kerry from office. We got this from Hillary Clinton last time around. But it, when Trump does it, it's super duper duper much worse than when Democrats do it. Here's Jim Acosta, Jim Acosta Inc. A preemptive celebration from Jim Acosta, who loves himself like no journalist except for Jeffrey Toobin.
The president is watching the lights go out on his presidency right now. That is what we're witnessing in real time. As these votes are being tabulated and Joe Biden is catching up in Pennsylvania and in Georgia, the presidency of Donald J. Trump is vanishing before our eyes.
Okay, so these journalists, they can't, by the way, this has some down ballot effects. If you think that what happened the other night is not a referendum on the failures of the media, you're dead wrong. The media claimed that Joe Biden was going to womp Trump, and not only that, Republicans were going to lose all across the land. Joe Biden was going to enter office with a wind at his back, with a Democratic Congress, with a Democratic Senate majority, a major Democratic Senate majority. That ain't going to happen. Those media, they've been lying to you. They've been shifting all information through their prism of bias, and that is perfectly obvious. Anderson Cooper, right? Here's another esteemed journalist, another member of our journalistic cadre, trashing Trump and calling him pathetic and fat, which, of course, is just what a journalist would do, right?
It's sad, and it is truly pathetic, and, of course, it is dangerous, and, of course, it will go to courts, but you'll notice the president did not have any evidence. That is the president of the United States. That is the most powerful person in the world, and we see him like an obese turtle on his back, flailing in the hot sun, realizing his time is over. But he just hasn't accepted it, and he wants to take everybody down with him, including this country.
So there it is. Your journalistic community. I can't imagine why people showed up in droves because they don't like the media. The failures of the media here are endemic. If Trump is going to talk about a stolen election seriously in the future, I think he's on much more solid ground talking about a stolen election on the basis of the media having completely shifted the nature of the race, being awful, being liars. That is unimpeachable. I mean, that is the reality. Now, that doesn't count as stealing in the sense that, like, votes got shifted secretly in the middle of the night. But if you're talking about the fairness of elections, if you're talking about the overall justice of a media that lies to you, that's a bigger endemic issue than the number of people who are supposedly stuffing ballot boxes in the end, because that's going to outlast any election. And we're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, let us talk about the fact that your most valuable asset is probably your home. Yeah, but nobody can steal your home, right? I mean, there's not a tractor big enough. What they can do is they can steal access to your home title. And when they do, they can then forge a quit claim deed. And then once they have the quit claim deed, they can say that you sold their home, your home, to them. And then they can take out loans against your house. And the next thing you know, you're receiving bills in the mail you didn't even know you'd taken out because you didn't take them out. You're not protected against this sort of stuff by insurance or your bank or common identity theft programs. That is why you need Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home title. The instant they detect tampering, they help shut it down cold. Head on over to HomeTitleLock.com, register your address to see if you're already a victim. Then use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That is code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com. Your home is your most valuable asset. Why would you leave it vulnerable to the predations of cleverer and cleverer online thieves? You don't want people accessing the value in your home. That, again, is your most valuable asset. Protect it right now at HomeTitleLock.com. Use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That is HomeTitleLock.com. Once again, HomeTitleLock.com. Alrighty, coming up, much more from our esteemed media. Plus, the Democratic Party is in a state of collapse. I mean, the Biden-Trump race is masking that, but it is the reality. We'll get to that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. 312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media are relieved because they think that Trump lost and the adults are back in charge, right? Except for one problem. The adults are not back in charge. There are no adults, okay? Let's be real about this. Andrew Bates, the Biden campaign spokesperson, he put out a statement, quote, as we said on July 19th, the American people will decide this election and the United States government is perfectly capable of escorting trespassers out of the White House. Yeah, you guys were so worried about Trump being a vulgar boor and all of this. Or alternatively, you just didn't like him because he's a Republican and that made you mad. And all of your protestations about his character, it was a bunch of crap. But that's what all this is about, isn't it? We see it from members of the media all the time, which is that if you are on the right, you're a bad person. And they can't let go of this narrative. They don't see how damaging it is, by the way. It is very damaging to them. If they would just stop insulting voters for half a second, they might have more of a mandate. But they can't stop insulting voters because they actually believe that if you don't vote with them, you're a bad human being. We need to be lectured by our moral betters. Right, the same people lecturing us about Trump's manners who then proceed to have no manners of their own. It's pretty impressive stuff. You get this from the media all the time. Joy Reid saying that the race shows that racism and anti-blackness are still dominant in the United States. Yeah.
even though we intellectually understand what America is at its base, right, that there is a great amount of racism, anti-blackness, anti-wokeness, this idea that political correctness is some sort of scheme to destroy white America, right? Like, we know what this country is, but you still, part of you, I think part of your heart says, you know what, maybe the country is going to pay off all of this pain, the children who were stolen, with a repudiation. And as the night wore on, and I realized, and it sunk in, okay, that's not happening. Mm. We are still who we thought, you know, well, unfortunately.
We are still racist. We are still terrible. America's still racist. And keep saying it over and over and over until you think it's true, at which point you guys will be in the deep electoral minority. I also need more lectures from our late night host. So our late night host did some of this over the course of the last couple nights. America's terrible. You guys, you're bad. America should be lamented. Keep doing this. Really. Here's the thing that people are missing about the Trump phenomenon. In the end, when all is said and done about President Trump, there's a lot of attempt to intellectualize Trump on policy. But the reality is that Trump connected with people because they hate coastal elitists who tell them that they are better than they are. That's really what Trump is about. Trump did not look down on people in middle America and laugh at them or scorn them. That's not what Trump is about. Trump actually hates the same comedians you hate. Remember, those very, very popular comics, those people have maybe, what, 5 million viewers a night? There's 330 million people in this country and 160 million people just voted. Here is Jimmy Kimmel, our late night comedians, informing you that you're a bad person.
He is a liar and a cheat who wants them to stop counting thousands of legitimate votes. And almost half of us are apparently okay with that.
Be careful, America. If you let Trump do this,